Now we're turning to the seventh chapter of the book of Genesis tonight, Genesis chapter 7, and we'll begin to read at the first verse. And the subject tonight is Mr. Noah, Saved and Sure. I hope you're saved, and I hope you're sure. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of every thing that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark, they and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, for in is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl, and of cattle, and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life. Of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. May God bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. Now, in the previous chapter, Moses, in relating the story of the coming flood of judgment and the only refuge available for those who believed, highlights three very informative things. In verses 8 through 10, he talks about a righteous soul. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, was justified by faith, and as a result of that, he walked with God. In verses 11 through 13, he describes a ruined scene. The earth, mentioned 5 times in these verses, was corrupted by sin and filled with violence. And because of this, God determined to send judgment upon the earth and upon the inhabitants of the earth. Then in verses 14 through 22, he informs us of a remnant saved. The whole world was drowned under the flood, except 8 souls. So we conclude that it was God who sent the flood, and it was God who saved the family. And that immediately reminds us of 2 things. that we need to keep before us, that God is just and God is gracious. And it reminds us of the teaching of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, where he says, the wages of sin is death. God is just. But the gift of God is eternal life. God is gracious. Now, just to recap and look at it in a slightly different way, there is the warning given. Before God strikes in judgment, he always warns. And in verse 7 and in verse 13, God said to Noah, and Noah delivered this message to the people of his day, I will destroy the earth. So the warning was given. And then the way was provided. In verse 14, the Lord said to Noah, make thee an ark. And then the wisdom was shown, because the Bible tells us repeatedly that Noah did what God commanded him to do. And in chapter 7, verse 7, we're told that he went into the ark. So just to link everything together, Noah erected the ark when God commissioned him. Noah entered the ark when God called him. And Noah exited the ark when God commanded him, when the judgment had passed. And the point I want to emphasize is this, that he came out on the other side of the judgment alive. Thank God, the Lord was with him, and the Lord saved him. Noah was saved, and Noah was sure of his salvation. What a thrilling story Moses gives to us in these few chapters of Genesis. And as I said before, Noah's Ark is one of the clearest and most comprehensive types of the salvation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ found in the Scriptures. Now, with this in mind, I want us to focus on the words found in verse 16 that prove to us beyond a shadow of a doubt that Noah was saved and he was sure. Notice what it says there in verse 16, and the Lord shut him in. And this shows that Noah was saved and sure of it because of a great work of God, because the Lord shut him in. And I have three simple things that I want to share with you tonight from this story about this particular subject. First of all, there is the sovereign work of God's grace. Now, I mentioned this last Sunday. There are four divine speeches recorded in these chapters that deal with the story of the flood and the story of Noah and the ark. First of all, in chapter 6, verses 13 through 21, we have the first divine speech. God speaks in mercy. The second great speech is found in chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. God is speaking again. And then for the third time, in chapter 8, verses 15 through 17, God speaks once more. And then the fourth divine speech is found in chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. So I'm emphasizing this, that we have these four divine speeches. God is speaking. Noah doesn't say anything. In fact, he doesn't even speak until chapter 9, verse 25. And that's the first time he speaks. Noah simply did what God told him to do. And chapter 6, verse 22 makes that abundantly clear. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Then in chapter 7, verse 5, we're told exactly the same kind of thing. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. So God speaks at length on four different occasions. Noah listens, and Noah simply does what God tells him to do. And he could say with Jonah, salvation is of the Lord. And each one gathered here tonight, saved by the grace of God, can say the same thing. I'm saved by grace alone. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, as I said before, the ark was God's idea. And the whole plan was revealed by God unto Noah. Now, if God had not revealed his plan and his mind unto Noah, Noah would have perished with the others. It's as simple as that. That speaks to us of the plan of God. And the plan of God was revealed unto Noah. Now, the ark was not hurriedly put together after the rain began to fall. It was not hurriedly put together after the waters began to rise. It took 120 years for the ark to be prepared and for the ark to be finished. That speaks of the patience of God. So you have the plan of God, make the ark, and you have the patience of God. It took Noah 120 years to build the ark. So long before the flood came, long before the first drop of water ever fell, God had planned this place of refuge. for men. Noah didn't invent it. It was God's idea. God determined its size. God determined its shape. God determined where it would be built, when it would be built, and who would build it. And then he said unto Noah, I want you to make an ark. Well, that was something new. That was something unknown. The people didn't know what an ark was. Noah didn't know what an ark was. Nobody ever needed this kind of structure before. They'd never seen rain before. This was something new. It was something unheard of. Why did God say, make an ark? Because it was the most suitable way and the only way whereby Noah and his family could be saved. Why? Because God said, I do bring a flood of water upon the earth. Chapter 6 and verse 17. And the flood is mentioned here for the first time. And this particular word in the original is only found 13 times. And it refers to a deluge. The deluge is coming. How was this going to be accomplished? By rain. The Bible says the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. We have discovered that in our Bible reading tonight. And this is the first time this particular word for rain is found in the Bible, and it means heavy rain. But you might say to me, preacher, I've caught you out here. The first time the word rain is found in the Bible is in chapter 2, verse 5, and then again in chapter 7, verse 4. I know that, but it's a different word. The word that is used here is found here for the first time. In the other two references, it's a word that means to cause, to give, or to send rain. But the word that is used here for the first time means a deluge from on high. So when you read this whole story, you will read how the rain commenced to fall in chapter 7, verse 10, how it continued to fall in verse 12, and then in chapter 8, we'll come to it next week, how the rain ceased to fall. And when the rain commenced to fall, the people were surprised because they'd never seen rain before. They didn't know what rain was. So it was a surprise to them. But then when it continued to rain for all those days, they were shocked. They'd never seen the like of it before. What can this mean? And then when the rain ceased to fall, the people were silenced because they were removed. They were gone. They had been judged. The rain had carried them away. The floods had carried them away. And they perished. They were lost. So you read these verses carefully, and these are the things that you discover. Reason would question, how can this be? How can the world be destroyed in this way? The earth was watered by the dew. How can this be? They couldn't reason the thing out. And in like manner, God has revealed the mystery of the gospel to men. A man can receive nothing except that be given him from heaven. It was God's provision for Noah. It was God's way to save Noah. Just as Christ is God's way to save sinners today. And as the ark was suitable and the only way to save, so Christ is suitable and the only way to save sinners. Why do I say that? Well, a man sinned. A man had to make an atonement for sin. A man fell into sin. It took a man to forgive men of their sins. And so Christ is the unique way. He's the suitable way. Because a man sinned and brought condemnation. So it took a man to die to reconcile men unto God. God told him to make a place of refuge, to hide from judgment. Now, let me say something to you. It took Noah 120 years to build the ark. That's what the reference is in chapter 6, verse 3. We read in our Bible reading tonight that the flood came in the 600th year of his life, chapter 7, verse 11. That means that he was 480 years old when he began to build the ark. And we learn from chapter 5, verse 32, that he was 500 years old when he begot his first son. So he did not have any children during the first 20 years of building. I mentioned last week, when you come to read this story, you get the impression that the work was done by Noah alone. Now, I'm not saying that his sons didn't help when they were born and that others didn't help. I'm not saying that at all. I don't know. But the picture we have is this man doing this work, and in that he's a picture of Christ. So long before his first son was born, Noah went out one day and began to cut down his first tree and began to build this ark that no one ever had heard tell of before, because he never needed this before. God was being gracious unto him This is the sovereign work of God's grace. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Here we have the sovereign work of God's grace. Then secondly, the saving work of God's grace. We're told here in verse 16 that the Lord shut him in. It was a work of God. This speaks of the saving work of God's grace. Now, there are a few words found a number of times in these verses, and I want you to find these words. Look there at verse 18 of chapter 7, and you'll find the words, the waters prevailed. Then again, in verse 19, the waters prevailed exceedingly. There's a build-up here. And then in verse 20, 15 cubits upwards, did the waters prevail over and above the highest mountain. So if you take 15 cubits, 18 inch and a cubit, you think of the amount of water above the highest mountain of the day. And then you come to verse 24, and the same thing is found, and the waters prevailed upon the earth in 150 days. So the language that is used here speaks of a universal flood. It speaks of a global flood. It affected the whole world. Flight was futile. It was impossible to escape the waters by climbing to the tops of the mountains, for according to verse 20, the waters were 15 cubits above the highest mountain. Mount Ararat was something like over 16,000 feet high. And then we're told in verse 19 that it covered the high hills. So this is truly amazing. This is frightening. This was the judgment that God said was coming, and the people scorned it and laughed at Noah. And the ark foreshadowed the finished work of Christ. The ark saved Noah from judgment as Christ saves sinners from judgment. And the ark passing through the flood of judgment foreshadows Christ bearing the wrath of God for our sins as our substitute on the cross. We're told in verse 17, as the waters increased, the ark was lifted up above the earth. So you have the rain coming down, and you have the waters from underneath gushing forth. You see the picture of the ark there. The waters are rising. The ark is rising. The ark is being lifted up. And the ark is a type and picture of Christ. Remember what Jesus said in John's Gospel. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. So we see the ark being raised up by the waters. That's a figure and type of Christ being lifted up on the cross, dying for our sins, suffering the wrath and the judgment of God for our sins. And bearing the fury of God's wrath, the ark bore Noah to safety. Judgment fell upon the ark, not upon Noah and his family. Aren't we so thankful that God's judgment fell upon Christ and not upon us personally? What a wonderful position we have here of the believer's position in Christ. As the waters of judgment were falling upon Christ at the cross, he as our substitute, as our ark, was lifting us up to heavenly places. So we see Noah and his family, a family justified, a family safe in the ark, being lifted up to heavenly places. And that's our position in Christ, lifted up in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And we can sing the words of the chorus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. So passing through the waters of judgment, the ark rested upon the mountains of Ararat. And the mountaintop was its final resting place. And that reminds us of Christ in the glory of his resurrection and the glory of his ascension. And we're told that only 8 souls were saved in the ark. I don't know how many millions of people were alive upon the earth, but I know this, only 8 people survived the judgment. 8 people who were in the ark. 8 in the Bible speaks of a new beginning. It speaks of resurrection. It speaks of the beginning of a new order of things. Christ has not only risen from the dead, but he has instituted a new order of things for his people. And that secures God's people in glory. We are in union with him, and he's lifted us up, and we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. And God's plan of salvation is the same for men and women today. Noah and his family availed themselves of what had been fully and freely provided, just the way sinners today need to enter into the ark of salvation and be saved. I mentioned last week, Noah was told to pitch the ark without and within. And one commentator says that pitch without speaks of redemption accomplished, and that is the Godward aspect of the atonement. God saw the pitch and was satisfied with what the pitch represented, and then the pitch on the inside is redemption applied. Those on the inside were saved. And that is the word that was found at least 70 times, or translated 70 times, in the Bible by the word atonement. And thank God Noah and his family were resting beneath something that spoke of the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were saved from wrath and judgment. The saving work of God's grace. And then finally, there is the secure work of God's grace. I've alluded to this already. The Lord shut him in. What a contrast we have here. So many were shut out, and so few were shut in. And that reminds us of the story in Matthew 25 of the 10 virgins and what happened to them. Five of them were shut out and five were shut in. So the door's closed, and God closed the door, and God shut Noah in. And at the same time, therefore, by his act, the people were shut out because of unbelief. They wouldn't enter in. The door was allowed to remain open for 7 further days after Noah entered in. And then the time came when the door was shut. You think about the indifference of the people. They were living under a constant threat of a major disaster. A major disaster is coming. The world has never experienced this kind of disaster before, and when nothing happened, they became more relaxed, more confident that nothing was going to happen, and less afraid. They were indifferent. Does that not describe the indifference of men and women today who couldn't care less? People in Noah's day laughed at the preacher. They laughed at this preacher of righteousness. They laughed at the boat. Well, it wasn't really a boat. It was more like a barge, the floating box that he was building. It wasn't very attractive. It wasn't very nice to look upon. But it was the only thing that was going to save Noah and the people who believed. And then the illustration for the people. Noah worked and witnessed for 120 years. Every day he was preaching. Every time the hammer was heard, a gospel message was preached. Every time they saw Noah building this great ark, and it was a great ark, God preached the message. He preached the sermon to them. Prepare, for judgment is coming. And they ignored the illustration. They closed their eyes to it. They closed their ears to what the preacher had to say. And then the invitation was given to the people. What was it? Come. So Noah and his family, they enter in. The Lord says, keep the door open for a further 7 days. Continue to invite the people to come. So the door was left open, and the invitation was extended. Come, for all things are ready. The work's finished. The way of salvation has been provided. Come, enter in. Be saved. God was just, and God was merciful, and God was inviting people to come. Nobody else did come. God could do nothing else. God said, well, they've spurned my invitation. I've given them ample opportunity, 120 years. I've given them a further 7 days, and now I can do nothing else. I've got to close the door because judgment is about to come. And he closed the door, and then the rain began to fall, and the great deep was broken up. And then they realized then that it was too late. But thank God Noah and his family were shut in. And remember what Jesus said to the church at Philadelphia. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. And what the Lord does, no man can undo. And the safety of Noah and his family now is in the Lord's hands. Noah did what he had to do, and God did what he had to do. Only what God could do. He shut them in. And the safety of Noah and his family was in the hands of God. So Noah had exercised faith, and now God was responsible for his security. We are secure in Christ. We're kept by the power of God through faith. We've entered in, and Jesus says, if you enter in, thou shalt be saved. Now the only window was above, and I'd mentioned this before. Some are of the opinion that it was some kind of a canopy. I think, and I said this last week, it's very possible that it could have been a window right around the whole ark, 18 inches deep. Now when you think of the size of the ark itself, and you think of all the animals in the ark, including the people, you needed to have ventilation in there. Some people believe then it was a window all the way around, but the point is this, whatever it was, it had to be a lattice kind of thing, a louver kind of a thing, to keep the rain out when it did come. But there had to be fresh air getting into the ark, because it was watertight, you see. The pitch on the outside and the inside. and there needed to be ventilation. And the point I want to make is this: whatever it was, Noah and his family were encouraged to keep looking up. And we are encouraged to keep looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. David vowed to look up every morning when he awoke. Now, there's something else that maybe I didn't mention last time. I'm going to mention now. There were three stories to the ark: a lower story, a second story, and an upper deck. Now, some seeing this, whether this is right or not, some seeing this, the believer's threefold salvation in Christ: a past experience, a present experience, and a future experience. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 10, I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. Now, maybe that's reading too much into it, but that's what one commentator at least said about these things. Some also think that it's a picture of the safety of all God's people in Christ. Some who are in Christ are in the lower deck of doubt and fear. Some are in the second deck of strong faith. And some are found on the upper deck of full assurance in Christ. But the point I want to emphasize is this: whatever position you're in, whatever level you're on, all of these individuals were found in the ark. They're found in Christ. So that's food for thought. That's something we can think about. The ark was a place of rest and a place of peace. We're told that there were many rooms in it, or compartments, or nests. Chapter 6, verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark. And this reminds me of John chapter 14, where Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. In Christ, we have something more than a refuge. We have a resting place. And we have here the picture in the rooms, or in the nests, or in the compartments, of the young bird found in the nest, the object of another's constant care. So in this ark there were nests, there were resting places. Christ is our refuge. Christ is our resting place under the loving care of Christ. The dove only found rest in the ark. Christ is our rest. He's our Sabbath. We rest in him. We only find rest in Christ. And then the Bible says God remembered Noah. Those who are hidden by God in Christ will be remembered by him. This is a human term that is used to convey to us that God never forgets. How can God forget? God never forgets anything. God remembered, teaching us that God never forgets his people. And we cannot be touched by judgment when we're hidden in Christ. We're hidden in the hollow of his hand. Believers are saved once and for all, forever. And the God who begins the good work in us will complete the work that he has commenced. The first word that God spoke to Noah after the flood was, go forth. Chapter 8 and verse 16. We go in for salvation and we go out for service. To the unsaved, God's word is, come in. And to the saved, it is, go forth. Come in for salvation, go forth for service. Now, the ark was a huge box. I was almost going to say boat, but it wasn't really a boat. It wasn't a ship. It was a box. It was more like a coffin. And there was room in that box for Noah and his family. There was room for two of every clean bird, beast, and insect and creeping thing in the world. Then there was room for seven of every clean animal. And then there were supplies for all on board for over a year. So you had to have ventilation. You had to have food. You had to have light. You had to have these things. It was an immense vessel, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, about the length of 1.5 football fields. That's some ark. That's some vessel. You think about that. And one account said it was large enough to hold 330 railroad cars. Another source says that it was large enough to hold 520 railroad box cars. Someone else said only 150 box cars would be needed to comfortably carry two of each air-breathing creatures in the world today. That's just one floor of the ark. And it housed all kinds of creatures, even so in Christ. He's a mighty Savior. He's an all-sufficient Savior who can save all kinds of sinners, all who come to him by faith. He's large enough and he's big enough, and his salvation is great enough to save all who come, all kinds, all classes, all creeds, all nationalities. He's got the ability to save all who come. thing about all these animals going into the ark as well as the family, and they floated to safety through the storm of God's judgment. Christ is an immense Saviour. He's a wonderful Saviour, delivering a vast multitude of people. And there was only one door. All the animals that came and the people who came, they had to enter in through this door. It was big enough, it was wide enough, it was high enough that all who wanted to come can in. And that speaks to us of Christ. And as I said before, there's just one window, and that one window speaks of the Holy Spirit, who gives light to all, the light that they need to walk with God. That's the work of the Spirit, to illuminate and to lighten the darkness that's in darkened hearts and darkened souls. The light of the world shines into the hearts of men and women by God's gracious Spirit, revealing truth to their hearts. And all who came and entered in were saved. So Noah was saved, and he was sure, because God came and shut him in. It's a wonderful story. Mr. Noah was saved, and Mr. Noah was sure. And may each one gathered here tonight be saved, and may we not only be saved, but may we be sure that we're saved. We'll bow for prayer.